Okay, I'm hitting record.
Lumby will tell you this, that there was a guy there that would use his full body to cue you like this.
Oh, yeah.
He was like expecting a cue from one of these. What, it was a news guy, I think, and he was like, he had to do that. Anyway,
thought his job was way more important than it was.
Okay, well, so just so you know, I've hit record. People are hearing this nonsense now. We want to start off more professionally. And so without further ado and delay, here's the Dan Man.
This episode of the legendary Humble and Fred Show is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studio in Toronto, from our Brampton facility featuring fall leaves on lush green grass, and a trailer in the Carthys with the Danis Duranis bust. I'm Dan Duran, broadcasting live from the Michael Parker Zoom Theater, and brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Bodog, our newest sponsor, Ridley Funeral Home, and Kelsey's Original Roadhouse. And now here are two men who, in a desperate attempt to forget about the Trump, have been organizing their freezers, making sure all the light bulbs are working, and cleaning the trendy white part of the soles of their shoes. It's Humble and Fred.
Thank you, Dan Duran. Emails today, that's all there is. This program featuring the fine people, the people that listen to this program, and their feedback. And of course, if we have a little time at the end, our producer Mike Boone will join us. Dan Duran is here, and the Fred Man. My brother Steven, by the way, his feedback on our show yesterday, Edmonton Steve.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. I don't know what people expected us to do. But my brother, he said something like, "You guys seemed a lot more jovial than I was expecting," or something. I don't know. But I don't know what he was expecting us to be like, but I thought we were fine.
No, I know. I think we explained that. You know, in that line, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The guy got elected. Now you deal with it. Although I must say, I stayed away from all the cable news networks yesterday, and I thought any news I get, I'll just get it locally from the Canadian sources. You know, like life before Trump or before this campaign, and reading several scary articles about the impact it could have on Canada economically. That didn't make me feel any better.
No, again, I know.
That's all speculative, but, you know, it could unfold.
I tried to stay away. I really did. I thought, okay, I just won't involve myself. And then I said, I don't know what I did. I put up something on Twitter, and then I got up this morning and some pro-Trump guys were tearing me a new asshole, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I did the same thing. I stayed away from, like, I have a series of podcasts I listen to, you know, when I'm going about my business through the day, and I just played music all day yesterday. I couldn't bring myself. I didn't have any podcasts that didn't have politics. I realized I got to get a wider view.
I don't either. I haven't listened to Smartless in a while. I was wondering from the Fred Man and I, because he and I listen to the same thing, Keith Olbermann, every day. Did you listen to it yesterday?
Well, it was only like 11 minutes.
I know. It was so short. Oh, really?
And that was before the election, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Because I think it was just about the Russians and the bomb threats or something, wasn't it?
You know, now that I think of it, you're right. I don't think he had all the results.
No. In fact, a few of those podcasts that I listened to didn't file yesterday, so I guess they're collecting their thoughts. I listened to Howard Stern, his spin on it. Very rational. Feels the same way we do. I had the unfortunate, you know, as I go through all the stuff this morning on the Toronto Sun. You know, Joe Warmington, to me, is just like Rudy Giuliani. He's this guy that used to have this great reputation, a compassionate, neat city guy. Now he's just turned into an irrational pro-Trump fool. Like,
is he still wearing the old-fashioned hat in his pictures?
But just think about what Joe Warmington used to be. And again, I encourage people to read his article today to just see how ridiculous it is, how unfair his whole spin is. People have been unfair to Donald Trump. They've been awful, calling him terrible names and everything, and it's just not fair.
Poor guy.
And his wonderful family has had to sort of absorb this, and how could we do this to him? And there you go, he's the president, and Joe saw it coming. He predicted it. Anyway, it's just, again, it reminds me of Rudy Giuliani, the fall of a decent man. Like,
so somebody had posted this. Somebody posted this on Twitter yesterday, and I'll read the post. All I did was repost it.
Mm-hmm.
They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Proved a more effective message than "Let me help you buy your first house," so which I thought was funny.
And all it's hilarious. It's funny.
So
it is.
All I did was I just retweeted it with the words "Yup, yup." That's all I put. Mm-hmm. Yup, yup. And from "Yup, yup," I got this guy. So somebody listened to our show yesterday, who I guess used to know us and hadn't listened to us for a while. And what he did is he reposted the entire podcast. Here's two more old, bitter, crusty assholes from Canada spewing their hate for, he wanted to say the president, but he said for the present.
Mm-hmm.
Calling for another attempt on his life, asking for better aim. Anyway, and then.
I said that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been years, and then he reposted. Then he posted another piece. Then he posted something else. He says, "It's been years, but I knew this episode would be a great one to listen to. Y'all didn't disappoint. The awkward, zoned out, dead air at the end of most of your sentences was a nice touch. It definitely added to the deflated energy through the 10 to 15 minutes I gave you, Howie. And to every one of his,
who was that?
Just some dude. That? And to every one of his." Shots at me. I just wrote, "Thank you for your support." That's all I wrote. Oh, no, I wrote, "Appreciate you listening. Thank you for your support."
That's funny.
Anyhow, here. So Stephen, and I didn't know what people expected us. The point of all this is to say hi, welcome to a new show. I don't know what people expected us to be like, but here's where we're at. You know, it's going to be another number of years where we're all going to be kind of holding, just like feeling a little bit, whether you pay attention or not, there's going to be that feeling of, you know, back to that bit of John Mulaney's, that there's a horse loose in the hospital once again, and nobody knows what the fuck's going to happen. Did you happen to see any of the response from Germany? The cover of, this is my favorite, because the Germans do not like Donald Trump. They've seen this thing before, right? The cover of one of the major newspapers, I'm talking about like a Globe and Mail style Washington Post level newspaper in Germany, and right. It was a picture of Trump, and underneath it all it said was "fuck."
Seriously?
Yeah, man. No, I don't know. Listen, I don't know if that was a meme or, but it looked to me pretty legitimate. But the Germans are like, "Oh my God."
Well, yeah, because that's the problem, too. You know, he doesn't, you know, we have the next 2.5 months before, you know, the inauguration. So a lot of that is going to be speculating, and he's going to be doing a lot of chirping, I guess, which he shouldn't do. And that will be a whole other aspect of this. Again, you know, decorum, the usual thing is now you sit in the weeds. You let this administration finish out, and then you take over. But, of course, he won't do that. I'm sure he'll have all sorts of things to say between now and then. But, again, you know, there's a lot of people that have bought into that. That's great. Super. That's where you come from. I just, you know, you read me a couple of, messages from your daughters and then talking to my daughter yesterday. I feel bad for the kids. Because they know right and wrong. We've done a good job. They can see what's decent and what's not. It's a little bit unnerving for them. So that's great. You know, and, you know, if you celebrate your Mr. Trump as your president again. Yeah.
I was, speaking of daughters, I spent most of the evening with one of my daughters. Apparently, I wasn't sure which one. But Spencer and I spent 4 hours yesterday. We went up to Richmond Hill to see a comedian that we both like. And was a long time in the car, you know, like one of those. It's great when you're with your kids like that. It reminded me of when they were younger. You're sort of like a captive audience. And I was pleasantly surprised, but not, because Spencer's a definitely a more politically motivated person than my other daughter, which I believe her name is Charlie. And and you know what Spencer and her friends were doing the night of the election is they got together and they had kind of like a watch party.
And, oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Like they were they were doing this. She was telling me they had this website where you could put in different modeling based on, you know, she was talking about battleground states and they would plug in with if she lost this one, what would the model do for the Electoral College? And I was quite fascinated that somebody her age was that interested. But again, kind of not surprised because she's kind of that kind, you know, that person anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, her perspective was very interesting. The fact that, you know, she doesn't know what we know, which is the world will continue to turn. And 4 years from now, somebody else will be in that position. But yeah, disappointed. The young people.
In the emails, did you put the one in from that Albert Francis guy? I'm sorry, I'm not right there right now. But
let me check.
But this is the spin, and you sort of get from Warmington, too, that it's like whenever the television was on, as soon as Trump came on, you turned down the sound. Like you didn't hear or see the things actually coming out of his mouth. You know what I mean? It's like that's not even part of their equation.
I don't know what you're talking about, Albert Francis, because we don't have an email from him. That
okay, basically, here's what he says, and I won't go through the whole thing as far as, you know, hi, guys. He just says, hey, great show. Keep up the good work. By the way, I'm glad Trump won because Kamala Harris is a disgusting, evil piece of trash who sent an innocent man to death's row and extended the prison time of others to maintain cheap labor in the state of California. And he misspells cheap. And then he
I saw this was one that you responded to yourself. I saw it, yeah.
And then he puts some clip of Tulsi Gabbard, and he said at 3 minutes and 47 seconds, Tulsi Gabbard destroys Kamala Harris with the truth, something she fears like a vampire fears sunlight. And again, it's that line that kills me. When these people talk about lies in defense of Trump, it's just, you just lose me.
No,
like,
I know.
What world do you live in? You know, like Kamala Harris fears the truth. It's like, it's just funny. But there's a lot of that out there. And again, you just try to overlook it and not be, you know, not be bummed out by it.
Well, why don't you read your response? It was pretty funny.
Oh, I said, hi, Albert. Are there any other sex offenders you admire or just Trump?
Which I love.
How about convicted felons? Is he your number one? You guys don't fool me. You mine whatever story you can to justify Trump on some bizarre level, but we all know why you really like him. Those beautiful dog whistles. Don't worry, you're good. A black woman is not going to be president, and those trannies are going to be put in their place. It's a wonderful world.
Yeah.
By the way, you spelled cheap wrong. Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, he spelled cheap, C-H-E-E-P.
I mean, not a big thing, but that says it all to me.
That is, again, let's get off Trump because there are other things we can talk about. And we've got some Trump stuff in the emails. But just my final thoughts for now is what you just said about having to justify, to find reasons to show why your choice of supporting this man. You have to go and you have to say all these things. And this idea about, you know, in his email about Kamala Harris is a disgusting, evil piece of trash. Okay, well, she's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Not perfect,
but compared to him, even the pictures of Trump today in the world newspapers are bizarre. The pictures are bizarre because they've got a bunch of the back to the Germans who apparently again hate this guy. They've got the picture of him. It looks like somebody made up for Halloween. But again,
is that the one where he's got that? Oh,
no. It's another one where, you know, he's wearing a bunch of makeup.
Insane. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And let's not forget, he's going to, like, isn't he turning 79 before he even takes office? So I was just thinking that again yesterday as I tried to push it out of my mind. You could have had this vibrant 60-year-old woman who would probably handle the world just as well as him, but you chose the 80-year-old joke.
Well, you see, the markets yesterday went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The Dow was up 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, well, you explain it because, you know, once a decision is made, markets tend to react to positively to not so much the news of him being elected, but somebody being elected.
Well, the uncertainty's gone now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Until January, when the uncertainty rises again. The other thing that I was seeing, this discussion about whether or not any in his court cases are going to go through because of the presidential immunity side of things. And I don't know, like, is Jack Smith going to just drop everything? I'd hate to hear that because you don't want to, like, preemptively give this guy more power.
No, but Dan, I read an article this morning. He's meeting with the DOJ. They're going to shut it all down. There's no, the federal cases, there's no use proceeding because the day he takes over, he just cancels them.
Well, so, he should do that then. My opinion is, okay, cancel them then. You know, continue on as normal, but let him cancel it. And then that's the piece that stands out as opposed to preemptively doing this.
Well, in between, you know, we could maybe get a lot of information if it went to trial or whatever. Who knows? But,
well, the Jack Smith thing will be dismissed. He won't. Oh, that, but he's still going to have to be sentenced. The president doesn't have the power to put away that state case against him.
Oh, no, I know. But who knows? I mean, the state could withdraw it, you know, for the betterment of the country or whatever.
Oh, I see
who
what you
knows?
Mean. Yeah.
Well, on
listen,
that one,
listen, I don't know if I made the point on the show. I think if Kamala had been elected, I wouldn't have been surprised if she pardoned him on everyone but January 6th. You'll never know. But so the country could take a breath and not have so much coming at them, but just center on that. You know, treason. You know, just the treason thing.
Well, I heard somebody say this, so it's not just my opinion, but that court case, the Jack Smith court case, for people who don't know, it's the federal case, it's the insurrection, it's the treason, it's all that stuff. That is, he'll as president, he'll have the power to discontinue that. But what they should do is, this is what I heard, what he should do is release all the information.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, well, you know, since this isn't going to trial, here's what we had.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy your presidente.
Yeah.
The difference, this is something I picked out that I thought you guys would find somewhat amusing. The difference between humans and animals, and this is as it has to do with Trump. The difference between humans and animals is this. Animals would never choose the dumbest among them to lead. Animals wouldn't go, that fat piece of shit in the corner, let's put him in charge.
Yeah. It's something.
It is something.
And again, you know, it's like, how do you, you know when you suffer an injury, some days it hurts worse 2 days later than the day after or whatever.
Yeah, and when you exercise.
Yeah, and that's sort of the way I felt this morning. Actually, a bit more down today than yesterday because it's just sort of settling in. And again, it's the it's going to be so exhausting, like January before he even takes office and then another 4 years. And hopefully, you know, you just think maybe things will settle down. It won't be as bad as we think. And
I remember a young Fred Patterson, you know, several years ago, as I reminded you yesterday, we were saying the same thing. You know, as often happens with you and I, I have similar feelings. Yesterday, it was almost like a bit of a, not a hangover, but a bit of like, it all happened so fast. I hadn't really settled in. And I, again, back to my brother's comment about you and I being sort of jovial considering. But I do. I felt
we didn't really discuss how we felt, which is kind of sad, kind of bummed out, and kind of like, what a drag. And wouldn't things have been a lot more positive today? And wouldn't the world feel more? And you can't get around it. I mean, there's a bunch of Democrats online talking about missing ballots and machines not registering their votes. Yeah. But there's no getting around it. The guy won, and the Republicans are going to win all branches of government. The Senate, they're probably going to win the Congress, and now they have the White House. It's going to be something to watch. That's for sure.
You know, there's one of two ways to go. It was rigged, or America just showed its true face. And I'll go with the second one. It's and again, that's the disheartening part. They just took a giant step backwards for decency. It just shows how ugly that country still is. And we all know it's always been an ugly country as far as racism goes.
Absolutely.
Attitude. It has. And you know what? The majority of the country just showed its face. It's an ugly country.
And not to get too deep, Dan, into conspiracies, but something happened. And I want to point out I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just from memory, I can tell you. The last four or five Democrat presidential candidates, going back to Obama twice, Hillary, Biden, and Kamala, all clocked in at around 65 million votes, except for Biden, who had something around 80, 81 million. You with me so far?
Yep.
So her vote count two nights ago was basically about the average of most of the last Democratic candidates for president. So one of two things happened. Something surged in 2020, and we all know that the possible explanation was way more early balloting, way more mailing and balloting, whatever it was, but it returned back to norm. But him winning the popular vote, again, for the first time in the three times he's run for president, again, not to be conspiratorial, but something's up. I mean, you know, she lost ground to places where like he beat her in Latinos, women, blacks, minorities. He beat her in places that Republicans normally don't do as well in.
To me, it just displays how backward the country is. Like, again, how do you physically rig an election? I mean, honestly, and I don't even want to go there. No, the country just showed its face. A black woman. They're not ready for it. It's a backward nation. You know, a lot of the people we deal with in the United States, you know, it's up and down the coast. Progressive, you know, educated, normal people. But just look at that electoral map. You know, it's all the internal people.
I'm not disputing that.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just going to tell you that they've done something since the last election. Dan sent us all this great feature from the New York Times Daily podcast talking about how Republicans have spent the last 4 years. And I don't want to get into it. It's very detailed, but it's at the macro, the micro, whatever level it is. At the council level, at the grassroots level, they got their act together in terms of making sure that they weren't going to be able to lose this election. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I mean, it does show how ridiculous we all. And I know what your point is. We all think of Americans as the people we see on TV, but that's not the real America. The people on those TV commercials, you know, the fat ones. That's not the real America.
Yeah, and just anyway, and if, it's just something else, because again, what they chose and the naivety of it too, the credit he gets for the things he didn't do, it's just amazing. It's amazing.
How about we talk about something else that's kind of related? Apparently, Google searches like how to move to Canada spiked 5,000% When Trump was last elected in 2016, the federal immigration website crashed from a surge in traffic. Canada saw more immigration, though, from the U.S. during President Joe Biden's term.
But, you know, even that, it's the effects that we could feel. Is it really going to matter what side of the border you're on? Because it all comes down to the price of eggs in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Interesting to see all those things you promised to do. I mean, you know, the Ukraine war, that should be over soon. You know, it's going to end the immigration. He's going to get rid of, he's going to close the border and ban this. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fantastic. And I can't wait for this wonderful world that he promised to create.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to fix America.
He's going to, it's going to, you know what? Yeah. It's going to be great to be part of the Make America Great Again.
And all they needed there was for prices to settle down a bit. That's all. And they were on their way. Well, everything else was in great shape.
Yeah, including
nobody,
inflation.
Nobody seemed to notice.
Yeah, no one seemed to notice that inflation had come down.
Nope.
Anyway, you know what, Dan?
Because, again, you got to put those trannies in their place, eh? And,
trannies are responsible for the price of eggs. Yeah. Trannies love eggs.
Yeah.
Did you read that the Calm Meditation app jumped 100 spots in the App Store right after?
Oh, I'm not surprised. All right. Well, listen, we got a lot to get done, and we're already behind. We're already behind where I thought we'd be. We're going to get Dan Duran's news a bit early today. It's going to be a truncated broadcast. Your emails are coming up in a second, but first, the Fred Man and I want to acknowledge that we are so lucky to have an audience and sponsorship and some of the people that support this program.
Yes, like the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. That's what it is. Go to chamberplan.ca today. You'll see all sorts of information there about the plan and the plans. And look at the Teladoc system, which is a great idea. Again, you know, if you have a specific problem, the Teladoc system can hook you up with specialists in your area so you can contact them directly. I mean, it really is a great system because sometimes you know what it's like. You have your GP and you got this problem and you have to wait forever to see somebody. Well, this can expedite it somewhat. I've used the system. It really works well. Again, it's just one of the many things that the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan offers, you know, on top of the regular stuff, prescriptions and dental, which we all tend to use on a more frequent basis. Therapies, they have an HR component, a mental health a line that can be tapped into if you need it. It's the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business.
Kelsey's retro menu is here. A nostalgic twist on Kelsey's classics like their Roadhouse seafood pasta, creamy shrimp, and crab sirloin and beef tenderloin. Yum. And creamy blue cheese pasta. Hurry in and taste them before they're gone, only at Kelsey's, the original Roadhouse. And it's Thursday, which means it is half price wing night at Kelsey's. That's right, it's going. You get your half price wings, you get some nice beverages. And don't forget, Kelsey's has a happy hour, not once, but twice every day. That's right, from 3 to 5 and 8 until close, only at Kelsey's. Must be legal drinking age. Please enjoy responsibly and read all the details at kelseys.ca for more information. Was that a little loud there with the music? Is that where you're going? Like,
yes, it was.
You know what? I think something's changed in the levels here, but
It was good music.
It is good. I knew you'd love that. Ever since you turned me on to that, I freaking love that Jagger tune. I freaking love it. So, all right. Let me get everything set. We're going to be doing our emails. We got... here's the thing. It's been... There was so many this week, obviously, about Trump. We tried to make it so that it's not just Trump. It's going to be Trump-centric. But we've whittled it down to a bunch, so bear with us. We'll try and get through as many as we can, starting with the Fred Man.
Hi, guys.
All right, subject matter here, of course, U.S. election.
Email.
And this is from Darren Platakis. Hi, guys. Listening to your post-election synopsis, and I can only think... The result is the U.S. The result in the U.S. is what happens when you remove civic classes from schools, from school curriculums, and don't travel beyond your country. Cheers, Darren. And a lot of that's true. That's what I was just saying. Look at the electoral map, you know. You know, a lot of those people, they don't leave their state, let alone their country.
Well, that's true for a lot of the states. You know, I've told you the story of living in California, having a conversation with a kid one day in my neighborhood, and I asked him if he knew where Canada was. Of course, he had no idea. But I said, okay, well, then, just for fun, what's the state north of us? Mm-hmm. And had no idea.
No, and people may say, hey, we're being dramatic, and that's not true, and you're cherry-picking. No, sorry. You know, again, you said it well. The people we see on TV, we think that is America. Well, there's a lot more to America than that, and we saw it Tuesday night.
Also, we're not making up the statistic that I think it's around 40%, but it's well below 50% of Americans have passports.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Low, 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 low.
All right, so here we have a few more. This is from Julie.
Hi, guys.
Her subject line is also her greeting. She says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I'm not a crazy person. I just wanted to talk about the Trump win, so I agreed with you on everything, and I find him disgusting. I had a sick feeling in my stomach Wednesday morning when I confirmed he won. Didn't we all? And I just wanted to say I did feel better after your talk with Tony Clement yesterday. Although I may not always agree with Tony, he has such a calm way of discussing issues that explaining how Kamala and the Democrats lost and that discussion did help me get on with the day a lot better. Love you guys. Love. Stay strong. Hundy P since Voldemort. Heart rate currently 94, a little high. Bowel movements regular.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I was thinking of yesterday, Pierre Poilievre, right? A lot of people are against him in Canada, and they think he's evil and Trumpish and everything, and I've said those things too. But are we going to be in a position when we elect our next prime minister? How much of that is going to be a mindset of who's going to work better with Trump? Like, he doesn't like Trudeau, or maybe who follows Trudeau is the liberal. Are we going to throw them into the fray, or do you look at a guy like Poilievre and go, oh, what he's all about and his, you know, fiscal attitude and policies, is it better for us as Canadians to have this guy jump in bed with Trump? It's going to be a tough decision, because at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for the country.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, I don't want to get too into it other than to say, you know, the things that happen at the head of state level are one level. It's all the stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And those people who work the diplomatic sort of level of, you know, trade ministers with other trade ministers, you know, they're going to continue to work together for the benefit of. Remember, I think it was you or we were saying yesterday that, you know, a bunch of American states, maybe it was one of the facts I had, we are their biggest trading partners. They're not going to fuck that up. And the states are going to make it well known that that Trump can't screw around with that because it's a big part of their economy.
Well, you hope, and you know, but this guy holds a grudge too. Unlike most presidents, who you know are rational, and even if they have personal feelings, might not act upon them. This guy's different. Let's hope. Again, all we can do is hope for the best.
True, man. Right? True. Here we go. Who's this from?
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Subject matter, the morning after, Brent Atkinson. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Last month, my family and I drove to Tennessee and Georgia to visit my in-laws. My brother-in-law is Canadian, who has lived in Tennessee for over 30 years. Judging from all the Trump van signs we saw in both states, it was a no-brainer that those states would vote red. My brother-in-law expressed concern during our visit that should Trump be elected, he could be deported. Whenever I hear celebrities and politicians say, I believe in the American people, during an election campaign, it's game over. Obama said those words when Clinton ran. Yesterday, it was Michael Moore. I can't say that I have any faith in the American people. And that's from Brent Atkinson. Yeah, I agree. I agree. After, you know, and again, it's that popular vote thing. Very, very weird. dark.
Yeah, and he won the popular vote, which is also weirder and darker. I don't know. It's funny that, is it funny or is it interesting that you brought up how you're feeling, you felt worse yesterday, or today. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I start, especially talking to my daughter last night, I started to think about, like, you know, we're kind of stuck in this now. It's like, we're going to find some way to have fun through it and to enjoy ourselves. Oh, yeah. Because I thought of this, that in 4 years, you're going to be 72. I'm going to be closing in on 70. I just don't want to waste the next 4 years of energy. Unless, you know, I don't know. I mean, we spent a lot of time and talked to Spencer about this. You and I collectively have spent a lot of time and energy trying to figure our way through and around this, to try and make it funny, to try and make it compelling.
Well, all that matters now is Canada. How is it going to affect us? I mean, how else do you look at it? And I'll say it again. We just hope for the best.
Yeah, but we're also going to have a strategy. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, signing up for the Calm app, or, you know, making a decision to not lean so hard on it, or to maybe try and find other things to. But it's hard not to comment on it because we're grown men in the world. Well, semi-grown.
No, Howard, I really think over the next couple of months it will settle down. I mean, from time to time, he'll say a few ridiculous things and maybe we'll talk about it. But again, that anticipation has gone. The anxiety is gone now, because although it's a different form of anxiety, but not as sort of immediate.
Now, this wasn't on the schedule, but Rudra just texted me. He says, with a Churchill quote, he says, Churchill said, "You can always count on the Americans to do the right thing when all other options have been exhausted." Mm-hmm. Apparently that's not true, according to Rudra. Let's move on. We've got more to go.
Hi, guys.
This is from Bill Carver. And the subject line, Humble and Fred, those sodomist grifting bastards, not. And he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I'm not a demon. Now, he's commenting on that guy that wrote in, throwing some shade on us. What was that?
Right.
He said, I want to comment. I can't remember what the text was. He called us. Did he call us sodomists? I can't remember. Bill says, I want to comment on the putts that wrote in throwing shade at the Humble and Fred podcast. How dare he? As I will defend Humble and Fred whether they like it or not. Oops. Methinks I just plagiarized the orange D-bag. Lol. Mm-hmm. Having said that, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but that guy needs to bring it. He didn't just word salad. I hearken back to the beginning of this 13-year-old podcast. The fact that you've lasted this long speaks volumes about the quality of your podcast and popularity. Onward and upward, fellas. Disregard that simpleton. To the naysayers, Bill goes on, to the naysayers that disrespect this podcast, I say, lick my balls and something Trump's man tits. Fuck. Oh, the crap. The U.S. elections results. To the power of infinity. I have no words but accept the results. Just think, 4 more years of Trump talk. I get it. I, too, am exhausted. Lovingly yours. This is Bill Carver, and I approve of this message.
I think he was referring to that song you played the other day.
All right.
Fuck my man tits.
Yes.
Which I found very funny.
Oh, you mean this one?
Comes from a place of love. Freedom and sovereignty are facing
here, let me get to the chorus here.
In defense, because I'm tired of fighting with you. We are at war with our neighbors. Together, it's time to take a stickers up in the middle. And it's time to be together. It's time to take a stand. Put those fingers up in the middle of our hands. Sing this song with me.
Here we go.
Why don't you lick my balls, suck my dick, kiss my ass, fuck my man tits, I ain't doing
there
shit.
There you go. All of that to hear this man sing lick my balls and fuck my man tits. All right. And now we're
That's
back.
That's awesome.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Is it my turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Subject matter question for Fred Patterson. This is from Mike Oxbig. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Question. Who does Fred think Austin Matthews and Josh Allen voted for in the election? And I actually responded to this, and I said Josh Allen is a California, so I would assume he would have voted for Kamala Harris. Again, I don't know, but he's from California. We all know about California when it comes to political stripes, so I guess Kamala Harris, and he seems like a nice young fellow. He doesn't seem like all those NFL thugs who supported Trump. Then as far as Austin Matthews goes, he's from Arizona, and that went red. But Austin, again, seems like a nice young fellow, very fashionable, seems to be somewhat progressive. I would think Harris as well. He doesn't seem like a hammerhead like a lot of those Americans from red states. So I would say both Harris. Okay, just a guess. I don't know, but that's what I'd say. Okay.
Well, you know what? I think we all appreciate your thoughtful analysis of this. I was wondering where you were going to go with it, and I wouldn't have been able to pick out where those guys are from.
Mm-hmm.
I have some friends that live in Arizona, and they're, well, friends. I have one friend that lives in Arizona that I know definitely was after Trump, and I didn't realize he was a Trump supporter. I told you about that last week. I saw him on Twitter, and he showing his support for Trump, and I'm like, I don't know. You know, like, it's weird. Like, when I talk to him again, which is a couple times a year, like, I just don't want to bother. It's funny how you don't want to bother bringing it up. Like, to what end?
No, I get it, Howard. But we've said it many times along the way, too. This isn't normal Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. We're in issues there. And, you know, what do you think about CPP? They're going to make some changes. Well, as a conservative, I think this. As a liberal, I think that. And yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. No, I look at it this way. This is, again, good and evil. This is an evil man. This is an evil regime. They are not nice people. It's different rules. So when you sit in a room with somebody that actually supports, again, that darkness, it's not easy.
It's not easy. And
no.
But for the sake of a two times a year conversation with this person who I really like, I've known this guy in the golf world for a long, long time. And for the sake of that, I wouldn't even know how to bring it up.
Well, maybe it wouldn't even come up.
Well, that's the thing.
I think Sherpa has said that when he's down in Florida around people, you just don't talk about it. Just hope it doesn't come up.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have to come up in the conversations that he and I would have, because they're usually around golf and family. But it is a bit weird, because if I found out that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, you and I would have a conversation and you might be more conservative leaning than me, and that'd be like, that's fine. But nowadays, you find out somebody's a Trump supporter and you're almost like, ew. Like, really? You know, it's not like a movie choice or, hey, you like country music and I don't. It's like, you support evil? I had no idea.
What? It's just, it's decency. It's just plain, flat out decency. That's all.
Here's a couple more. Takeaway from November 4th show is the subject line. Again, laughing my ass off. From our friend Julie Mizzoni. She says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because she knows how the routine works. I hope Dan does not think blowing air up his ass while cleaning the bidet lines replaces a colonoscopy. Pretty close, but he still needs one. She goes on and says, Howard, the story of your frozen member and you with your pants down at a church trying to warm it up was freaking hysterical. I used to live in the Bloor West Village. I can picture it so well. On the comeback of Matlock, what comes to we were talking about the return of that series. What comes to mind is that millennials do not have cable and basically only stream what they watch, which is true. Who has cable? Old fucks who used to probably watch Matlock. That is true. So the network reads the room and their demographic. Having Kathy Bates was a good move, too. Us old fucks know who she is. If you're keeping track, that's two old fucks from Julie Mazzoni. And she signs off with, cheers, guys. And you know what we say back? Cheers to you, Julie Mazzoni.
Yeah.
Very nice person.
That's true.
And she makes a good point, though. Like, why not redo an old, you know, series back from when you and I would watch, or people our age would watch, regular television? Because at least we go, oh, I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. On that point, I have a TV service that shows, like, unbelievable old stuff. And yesterday I happened upon, do you remember the show from the mid-60s called Stingray? It was the puppets?
Yes. Yes, of course I do.
I watched an episode yesterday, and I'm thinking, why did they bother? All the work that would go into that? Number one, why not animate it? But it was, and you could actually see the strings of the puppet, you know, as they're walking through this spaceship.
It was horribly done.
And I noticed it only lasted one season, but boy, that brought back memories.
There's a movie from the guys that did South Park, and it's an entire movie with puppets
Fabulous. It's fun. Yeah.
But isn't that what it's kind of a takeoff of those old things where their mouths moved incorrectly and.
Yeah, wasn't it called Air America?
Air America, that's right.
Yeah, funny. I'll tell you, the first 10 minutes of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, if I saw that for the first time now, I would piss my pants. But back then, I could hold it. I was in the theater with Danny, and I embarrassed him. I was laughing so hard. You know, when the Americans invade and knock all the... like the fruit carts over and just no, and they're totally yelling and these people's lives.
To this day, my buddy Dave will go Durka Durka Jihad and make me laugh. All right, here we go. Fred, who's next?
Hi guys.
This is subject matter way worse than 2016. This is from our buddy Mike Hannafin. All right, Mike Hannafin. I'm going to, you know, slice this down a bit. Basically what he says, how could they elect him again after he showed how horrible a person he is? Indictments, felonies, convictions, impeachments, threats against his enemies, and elected with 51% of the popular vote, despite so many in his own party rejecting him, despite everything. This is way worse. Look at the people celebrating the most. Some of the worst people on earth. Billionaires, oligarchs, Musk, dark money donors, convicted felons, crackpots, QAnons, RFK Jr., Marjorie Taylor Greene. And also some people I thought would have more sense and intelligence, but apparently not. That makes me the saddest of all. This is way worse because it could permanently change how I think about America and Americans.
Yeah, I agree.
I have many American friends. Now I wonder, how did they vote? Mike Hannafin.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, all got reelected. By the way, at the beginning
look
of
at
that.
Ted Cruz. And did you see that guy that ran against him, that all red guy, just a fine, nice gentleman?
Yeah,
a
regular
and
person.
These guys voted for, you know, who was it? Al Franken said, you know, I like Ted Cruz more than anybody else in Congress, and I hate his fucking guts.
By the way, Mike did say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I, unlike 51% of America, have some shred of decency.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you saw that.
No.
You didn't. That's right at
no,
the beginning.
No, I guess. I'm sorry? Where? Okay. No, I've got about three things. He sent an audio thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. He did. He said the regular one. He said the audio version.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, no, I started halfway through because it was so long. That's all.
But we appreciate you, Mike. Mm-hmm. You're a very nice person. All right, let me go to a different screen. Here's something that's not related to Trump from Nathan H.
Hi, guys.
Subject line, I have returned. And he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because I can think of no better way to address men of your elevated stature. Just wanted to drop you a line to say I'm a fan from the mid-90s on CFNY for the first few years of your podcast. I listened almost daily. Not quite 100%er, probably a solid 92%er. I took a long break from the show for several years for reasons unbeknownst to me. All right. although I did check in periodically when world events warranted it. Sometimes I just needed to know what Humble and Fred had to say about whatever had to say about whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I found myself back amongst the solid 92% range over the last 6 or 8 months. I'm glad to be back. Your humor hits the same notes it always did, and my days cruising the highways and byways of New Brunswick are better for it. St. John, represent. Keep it up. Resting heart rate is 69. Best regards, Nathan Haller. Nathan Haller. There you go. Isn't that nice?
Nice note.
It's a nice note from somebody in a nice province, New Brunswick. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Hi, guys.
Howard, this one, the subject matter is interesting. Did you read it, and are you prepared for it, or are we just going to speculate? Let me explain. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Just a quick suggestion. Instead of Howard playing a mashup of sound effects when you say interesting, how about you play the interesting vocal from your beer promo? It's 15 seconds in on the YouTube commercial. It sounds great and will keep the beer jingle fresh in people's heads to continue the beer sales. Loyal listener since the edge, Greg Stogren.
So what are you saying? Like, if one of us one of us say interesting, normally if we're having a little fun we might say interesting and play a bunch of shit like this, right?
Yes. He's suggesting go 15 seconds into the commercial.
Okay, so why don't you, let's see what this would sound like. You say something's interesting, and then I'll see if I can follow along.
Well, I'll tell you, looking at tonight's NFL game on Bodog is very interesting.
Interesting. Interesting.
Interesting. There you go.
We could do it.
Interesting.
And who's that from, Greg?
Yeah.
And I want to say thanks, Greg. I wish we had thought of it. I don't know how we missed it. But there it is. So that's the new sound effect.
Right.
Okay, we've got a couple more. Let me make sure I've got the right ones. I've got one that says why I'm... Yeah, okay, let me just do this one about Spain.
Hi, guys.
Subject line, Spain.
Hi, guys.
And this is from our friend Tom Leiper. Has contributed regularly. He says, hey, Howard, but he means hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I was talking about whether I should go to Spain, being on my own, etc. He says, just do it. 7 to 10 days on your own before your golf buddies arrive would be great. And he's got some prices for car rentals and a VRBO and lots of fun in Malaga, Marbella, or Estepona. Okay. He says there's a bunch of courses you can play. Play early and be back for the podcast. Record at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because it's 6 hours time difference. Why not, when not recording, take a train to Seville? Have you been to Spain, by the way?
No.
He says, take a train to Seville for a couple of nights. Hang at any number of restaurants at night surrounded by locals and tourists having a great time. And it does sound wonderful.
Well, he's laid out your whole itinerary.
Because you know me. I love to hang around with locals and tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm getting closer and closer to making that a reality, I think. Yeah, at some point, we're going to have a conversation with the Humble and Fred audience about what the month of February is going to look like. And all we can say is it's going to look a little bit different. The boys are getting older. We need to take advantage of these somewhat healthy years in our 60s.
True man, true.
Frederick, do you have one more?
Yes, and it's a good one.
Hi, guys.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
Not that the others weren't, but this is some great points are made in this email. And the subject matter is Fred hotel pricing from Andrew Moore.
Oh, yes.
And he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
He says, Fred's comments on hotel pricing during Taylor Swift were right on the nose. It's actually worse. As soon as the concert dates were announced, hotels canceled existing reservations, forcing people to rebook at the new Taylor pricing.
Why is it okay that airlines, hotels, parking, etc. all do this? Can you imagine if restaurants did this? Sorry, your $22 order of chicken fingers is actually $220 because Taylor Swift is in town. The world would collectively lose its friggin' mind, and we would be canceled and run out of business. Of course, Andrew works for service-inspired restaurants, our buddies at Jack Astor's. Great point. And he says, and this has been proven. Earlier this year, the CEO of Wendy's said that they were considering dynamic pricing, and it went viral before the end of the day with people losing their collective shit. Yet every other service industry does it, and nobody pushes back. Rant over. Love you guys. Resting heart rate 67. Not bad.
Yeah, very
daily
nice.
Bowel movements also 67. What, he has 67 a day? I should get that looked at, he says. And Andy Moore. Way to go, Andy. Great point.
Way to go, Andy Moore. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. After you and I were talking about it, you brought it to our attention. I was talking about that with somebody else that I still find it hard to believe. It was somebody in the grown-up world. I said, is it really true that there isn't somebody in corporate that is a bit wary of the bad publicity that you're going to get for charging $2,000 for a hotel room?
And I didn't know that, so they phoned people that are already booked, and like, how do you do that? Wow.
I don't know.
You know, even the Leafs do that. Also, a lot of sports teams do it now, price based on the team that's visiting as well.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. You mean they jack their regular prices if a more popular team is coming to town?
Absolutely. Like in Buffalo, for instance, when the Leafs come to Buffalo because they know all the Leaf fans, Canadians, the prices skyrocket for those games.
The prices for tickets or the prices for everything?
No, well, it's prices for tickets. I can't address the other aspects, but yeah, it's horrible. It's just gouge, gouge, gouge. There's no friendliness anymore. Let's just grab what we can.
Well, I don't know. It just seems odd that if I were, what was it, the Westin or whatever Marriott, whatever chain it was, has decided that the amount of blowback, is that what we're doing? We're blowing back? The amount of blowback, is it worth it? You're already making a bunch of money. And for the sake of a couple of nights, do you really see, like is it worth the extra, let's say a typical Toronto hotel room in downtown would be $350 or $4. It's in that range. $250 would be cheap. So is it really worth it to get another $1,500 for two nights?
Well, you talk about blowback. We've all proven, I mean, through COVID, again, the average hotel room probably jumped from $180 a night, let's just say average, to $250. And it's like we're all appalled, but we continue to pay it. They're still all full. They just absorb the blowback because they know people have short memories. I mean, the only time, you know, we've said it about the Leafs for years. The only time the Leafs will really turn it around is when people stop going. But they don't.
Yeah, they're never going to stop
going. Look at the Blue Jays. When the Blue Jays suck, nobody goes. And it, you know, and over the past few years, they've had some competitive teams. So
yeah, but the Blue Jays, I mean, all major sports franchises, because of the way their deals with television and media are structured, attendance isn't as crucial as it may, that the average person would think it was, as to the crucial to the bottom line. It's what I said to
but
you.
But it doesn't look good when you're
no, it's empty. Well, same with, I told you that story of they released a bunch of tickets for next September. September 2025, the Ryder Cup is going to Bethpage Black in New York. It's a great, it's a public golf course. It's legendary. It's one of those things that, you know, golf fans can't wait to see these best players in the world come and play that golf course. And they jacked up their day prices. I don't know if they jacked it up. Their day pass was between $750 and $1,000 to get on the grounds. Well, that's insane.
No, but you talk about attendance, too. If you're the Blue Jays, would you rather have 12,000 people buying your $15 bill or beer or 40,000 buying your $15 beer?
No, for sure.
You know what I mean? It's like there's so much money made on site as well. You know, you want to buy your kids some, you know, couple of chicken fingers and a handful of fries, and it costs $14. Anyway, it's all disgusting what's happened to the sports world. A lot of
my point about baseball or other sports, their break even isn't on the concession. Their excess. They're going to make a ton of money. You're right. And yes, they'd rather have 40,000 people. All right, I've got one more email and then we're done. This is from Gord.
Hi guys.
And of course, I guess we'll finish it with somewhat Trump related. It's subject line, the economy and propaganda. Of course, he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because he knows how to play the game. Enjoyed your debrief on the election train wreck. I think fundamentally that many voters think things four years ago were better, particularly with inflation and the border. I just want to stop there. How you don't understand, I mean, and I guess because we're talking about the red state people, how there's not a fundamental understanding of global, of coming out of a pandemic, that there was a global surge in inflation and prices.
Yeah.
How that wasn't, I mean, of all the many things the Democrats could have done better, how they didn't hang more COVID on this guy. Because one of the big takeaways for Republicans was, were things better 4 years ago? Well, in their minds it was, but how they didn't hang 500,000 more deaths on Donald Trump's ineptitude around the pandemic. Anyway.
Or the whole, again, the only thing, you know, the economy down there has bounced back and the stock market has bounced back. Job numbers are up. The only thing that was lagging was prices, inflation. That was a worldwide phenomenon. I don't know why the Democrats didn't defend themselves more through that. Like, well, wait a minute. Prices, inflation, that was a worldwide thing.
No, exactly. Anyways, just to wrap it up. Just to wrap it up here with Gordy, says it doesn't matter. No, they don't care about a democracy or decency. And for many, racism is a bonus feature. And we'll just leave it there. Stay strong, says Gord. And Gord, we appreciate you weighing in on all of it. But that's, to me, that was the big failure, not just of the 100-day campaign, but the, as you say, why they didn't defend themselves more on that. And I guess, I don't know, how the average person couldn't understand that inflation wasn't just happening to them. Mm-hmm. All right. Dan's coming back here in a second. Let's get a little business done.
Yeah, I mentioned the Thursday night NFL game. It's Baltimore-Cincinnati. Baltimore minus 6 on the points, minus 270 on the money line. I can see that. That is your Thursday nighter, which kicks off week whatever it is, week 10 or whatever in the NFL. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, a casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. That is Bodog. We are
bound together. And not only are we supported by Bodog, we're supported by Boron. A lot of people think we're just boring. If you want to find out more about this junior mining company, and Dan, now would be a good time to come back. They are uncovering these an amazing mineral. They've figured a place in the world that has it. Only a few places on Earth mine boron commercially. And why is that important? Because it literally is in almost everything you do and touch in the day-to-day world. What is boron? Find out. What's happening with this company? Find out. What's going to do? What it could be for your financial future? Find out at boron1.com. You know, every once in a while, I like to pick out silly little things, you know, just to, sometimes the show needs a palate cleanser. Dan Duran's back. I've said this. I saw it on the social medias. And it's just this. Did you know that when you clean a vacuum cleaner, you become a vacuum cleaner?
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true.
When you clean a vacuum cleaner, then you become a vacuum cleaner. Thought you'd like that, Dandra.
That's very deep. That's a absolutely deep right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for bringing that that palate cleansing piece of information to us. It's always good to have something like that on a day like today.
And Dan Duran, we're going to do the news a little early, and then Dan Duran has sent me a request. I think we're all going to be fine with it. And we'll get to that. Dan, do you have the news at the ready?
I have the news ready to go.
All right, then, without further ado and delay.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Ho! Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchor man's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from the Fancy Pants trailer, look at that view. Here he is, TV anchorman, news man from the movies, and all around fine fellow, it's Daniel J. Giebert Duran III.
Okay, the Canadian government banned TikTok in Canada, but Canadians can still use it. New data confirms 2024 will be the hottest year on record and the first calendar year to exceed the Paris Agreement threshold. But let's talk about organized food crime.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about food theft on this newscast before. People stealing tons of maple syrup, $500,000 worth of cheese wheels, and Ontario butter. It's back in the news. There seems to be a big butter black market as the ninth heist of the freshly churned cream happened this year. The ninth was last week. We moved from Brampton. The new one is in Guelph. A hot butter spot, apparently. Why? I guess it has to do with the price of butter, because it, you know, used to be a couple of bucks a couple of years ago. It's now in the $5 range today, so I guess there's people looking for butter at a better deal.
$5. Way more than that.
Well, how much did you pay for your last pound of butter?
It's up around $7.
Oh, is it now? Okay. I buy my Costco. Anyway, butter.
Aren't there butter alternatives that you can look, like soy butter? Isn't there almond butter? Isn't there some kind of other butter? Butter.
Butter's not butter if it's not butter.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know the answer. Isn't there some kind of fancy health food butter alternative made from some kind of soy?
Soy. Probably. You call that, you know, margarine.
Whatever.
Yeah. You could buy margarine.
Isn't there some oil-based product that we can use instead of butter?
When we were kids, we used the margarine where you actually had to squeeze in the color and then mix it up. That's how old I am.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you.
I've never heard of that before.
There was a little color bud. You squeezed it on and then, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
All right. Well,
that was the butter, you know, the whole butter cartel.
Yeah. Okay.
They made it because they didn't want margarine to be confused with butter. Mm-hmm. So that's why butter looked like lard in the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Listen, there's a whole chapter to be written about Big Butter, about the nefarious Big Butter. Hey, before we get further into this newscast, this program is brought to you by so many fine people. Dan Duran's news today is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa.
Yeah, Tim Niblett, a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Yesterday, Tim was on. They're always interesting, his segments. But yesterday, he talked about spending as an investment, meaning, yeah, you can save the money or use the money to invest in memories, good times, helping your children while you can see it, you know, instead of after you're dead. It was very profound, it was a great way to look at investments. That's what it was. And remember, if you have an investment portfolio and you want somebody to have a second look at it, Jay or Tim will do it. Just contact them at retirementsherpa.ca.
Did I hear you say that you thought that yesterday's Sherpa segment was interesting?
Interesting.
Yeah. Twas.
See that, Dan? It was Greg Stogren who said that? Greg?
Believe so.
And he suggested that we edit part of our beer jingle. So that rather than doing this nonsense and we say something's interesting, we just hit this.
Interesting.
And your little protege, Howie Glassman from Moose Jaw, edited that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice job. Now you can spend time. You're going to play that other song about, you know, whatever the thing Fred
say
liked.
It, Dan.
What's that?
You say it, Dan.
What song's that, Dan?
You just touched your breast. Say it.
I don't remember the lyrics. Fred.
Wait, you want the song about fucking your man tits? I've already played that today.
Why can't Dan say fucking your man tits?
Dan, say fucking your man tits. Say it.
Dan, say it.
Say you want Fred to fuck your man tits.
My point is that you edit that part out of this because there's that long, lead up.
Just to get right to the what part do you like? The lick my balls part? Tell Fred to lick your balls and fuck your man tits.
Those are both good ones to edit.
Come
on. Have them separate or together.
Dan, why can't you say fuck your man tits? Just why? Why?
Just say it.
It's not.
And then it feels uncomfortable. It's not something I would say.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
Toronto Mike is here. Sorry, I don't have your theme. Okay.
Can you say it, Mike Boone?
Toronto can
fuck
say
your man tits. Yeah, but I'm not the son of a preacher man.
That's right. Here comes Toronto Mike. He's going to tell us about going to see. God, we're going to. Is this how long is this going to be? Is this going to be a long Bruce Springsteen thing followed by some clips?
One clip because somebody died. Sorry to to inconvenience you. Somebody passed away, but this whole thing can be 2.5 minutes.
Right on.
I'll do it fast because I know how it's gonna go. So I'll just say Bruce Springsteen was fucking amazing, like a life-changing experience. 3 hours. The guy could have gone three more. He's 75 years old. What an inspiration. I'm converted. That was amazing.
Is that your first time?
First time, because I'm not a big, you know, Springsteen head, and I was gifted a ticket because somebody wanted me to experience this. And I'm telling you, man, it's like going to church. I'm converted. That guy is unbelievable. Yeah. I had the best time.
Was it a good seat?
I was third level, second row, so it's best of the worst, I suppose.
I'm similar. I love some of his music. I don't know. I don't like all of it, but did all your favorite Springsteen songs get played?
Well, I don't know what that means because I grew up with Born in the USA. Right? Yeah. That was the album when I was 10 years old I loved. And only two songs from Born in the USA. So Glory Days and Dancing in the Dark were played. So there's a lot of songs you get that you don't know, but you're immersed in it because the musicianship is so amazing. He's got, you know, horn section. He's got so many musicians and backup singers on that stage. And he just gives, man. This guy is such an inspiration. 75 years old.
Yeah. Did he say anything about the election?
Just one line off the top about need to heal his country, and he played a song off the top, and then he was in good spirits the rest of the way. It was happy Bruce.
Hey, Dan,
well, like Howard and I, you got
Dan. Yeah, like, hey, did Bruce play Lick My Balls and Suck My Man?
Yes. No, he did, and he also did, and I thought this was strange, quick thoughts from you guys. It's November 6th yesterday, and he broke out Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Is that too early?
No. If it was anyone but Springsteen, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great, but it was like, oh, it's November 6th, and here we go.
No, I get it, because how often does he come here and people like to see that live? It's such, really, one of his iconic songs. Now, did he sing, like in a live situation, one of my favorite songs, The Streets of Philadelphia? Did he do that? No,
he didn't touch any of those soundtrack songs, actually.
Yeah, that's low-key, too, for that environment, I guess.
He's got a big band with him. So, Howard's got to go, so
Hang on. We got a couple more minutes. Dan, if you went to Springsteen, would you like him to play Fuck My Man Tits live?
Of course. And who would want to see Springsteen?
If you were a chance to hold your hand up and say, I'm Dan Duran, I have a request, would you play?
What would I do? I would just, I don't think I would be able to be heard over the din. The crowds are big there.
Well, it's clear.
I know what you're trying to do here, though.
We all want to hear that.
Springsteen has man tits. Like, he actually has pretty good cleavage for a man.
Yeah. It happens.
It happens as we get older.
Mike,
unless you have an operation and they're removed, like I did,
saw the whole thing,
pop them off and give them to Howard's girlfriend.
That's right. One of my favorite things I've ever witnessed was a surgeon sucking goo out of your boobs. It was fantastic. But we have no time for that, Mike. You were mentioning somebody has passed away that actually was a guest on our show.
Right. So on July 7th, 2016, you had a comic on named Kathleen McGee. She was in the studio. This is pre-pandemic. People came over. You had a good chat with her. And I was sad to learn that she died this past weekend at the age of 43.
Yeah, very young.
And I'd like to play a clip, if you don't mind. Yeah, and then I'll drop a fun fact about Kathleen McGee. So here's Kathleen McGee on Humble and Fred.
One of the reasons I love Toronto is I can't handle the weather here. The winter.
Where are you from originally?
Edmonton. I'd much rather have an Edmonton winter than a Toronto winter any day. The winters here are so, like, wet, cold. And then the summers are wet, hot. And I don't thrive in that kind of environment.
Isn't it odd that it has such horrible weather yet became the center of the universe?
Are you actually doing a show at Yuck Yucks?
Yeah, I'm headlining the Yuck Yucks Toronto for the first time in 5 years.
What is the first thing you'll say as you bound to the stage?
Well, I have been trying this joke, but it hasn't been working in Toronto for some reason.
This is the perfect place for kind of humor.
Good, because I get no reaction. It's just that the thing is that it's summer, right? So it's that time of year where I have to be really clear when I'm inviting some dudes to a pig roast. So, do you get it?
That's what you need.
Say it again. Say it again.
I have to be really clear when I'm inviting some dudes to a pig roast. Right. In the wintertime, it's automatically just a threesome.
Oh, okay.
But in the summertime, I might be having a barbecue.
Oh. Did you know that pig roast meant threesome?
I didn't know anything.
What is wrong with you? Well,
What if you said spit roast? Would that make any more sense?
No, I don't know what a pig roast is.
Where they rotate? Well, a pig roast is where there's a guy on the front and a guy on the back.
I didn't know that.
I've never heard that. Is that a Western thing?
It must be, because it was killing in Alberta.
There you go. Yeah, she's. I didn't know her, but I knew a lot of people that did, who were very, very saddened by her passing.
However, she doesn't have to live through the Trump years.
Exactly.
Like we do.
You know what? Are you saying you'd gladly trade places with her?
Oh, I'm just trying to.
You're just trying to make it funny.
Bring some levity.
All right, Mike. What was your final thoughts?
The fun fact about the late great Kathleen McGee is that she had a tattoo on her arm that celebrated February 21st, 2017. So why that day? Because that's the day McDonald's began serving all day breakfast in Canada.
that's pretty committed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So rest in peace and shout out to Ridley Funeral Home. And by the way, Fred, you bit again. You did an email today from Mike Oxbig. And of course, don't forget, Mike Oxbig is a fake name. It's Mike Coxbig.
Mike Coxbig.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like Dan Duran. I don't go there.
No, exactly.
Well, that's not true.
You have so much in common with Dan. Speaking of Dan Duran, Dan sent me a note and. We would normally pick out somebody from our emails to make the Zoom Theater honoree, but Dan has something he'd like to put forward, Fred, and I think he'll agree.
Okay.
Well, there's a guy that's been helping me out here at the park here with my new condo trailer.
Yes.
His name is Jim Miller, and his last day working for the park is tomorrow. He's moving on, and just thought I'd like to acknowledge him. He's a Hundy P. He listens all the time, and anything we say in the show, we end up talking about a couple days later, including, taking me up on the hill and doing that. I was
I think was he curious when you were going to be taken up in that hill and have him fucked up?
Yeah, we had a discussion about it. Yes.
I think I not meet Jim one of the times I was there.
Yes, you did. Howard.
Very nice man.
Times, I think. Yes.
So
very nice.
We're happy to fulfill your request, Jim Miller from the trailer area. Are you allowed to mention the trailer park, or you guys would rather not?
No.
What do you mean?
Okay, the name of the trailer park. Anyway, but
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy, and it'll be sad not to see him again. Because even though he lives in Peterborough, chances are we may never see him again. That's sad when you think about it.
Yeah, it's not like he's dead, but
no, I know. But those things have a way of unfolding, Howard.
All right. Well, if no one else has any objections, I say we nominate Jim Miller.
And we should. That's a good idea.
Yeah, a very good idea. Thanks to Toronto Mike. Toronto Mike, of course, Humble and Friends producer and all-around fine fellow. And we'll see you after another Lumble and Fred. Another Humble and Fred long weekend. We're back on Monday with four more shows.
This episode of the legendary Lumble and Fred Show was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, our newest sponsor, Ridley Funeral Home, and Kelsey's Original Roadhouse. For contests and comments, we do read all the emails and some on the air, as you've seen. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Subscribe to the podcast, share an episode. Rating the podcast would help us out as well. From the Jim Miller Zoom Theater, I'm Dan Duran. And remember, the Christmas season is on, Bruce is singing about it, and the department stores are shelving Santas, so get your jingle on and enjoy every goddamn day. You got to turn the tables and the microphone.